Welcome to Between the Rows, where you get to hear the stories behind the stories in Canada's leading farm publications.
Hello, and welcome to Between the Rows. I'm Ed White, your host this week. What did you have for breakfast this morning? I had hummus and guacamole, but my kids and my wife asked me to make them an omelet. So I got cracking. 6 beaten eggs went into the pan, and I had a happy family. Jennifer Blair of Alberta Farmer Express is going to join us to explain what breakfast still means for eggs and for egg farmers. I'm going to speak with Alan Dawson about why we're always talking about China and Canadian canola these days. And we're going to talk to Glenn Halleck of Markets Farm to fill us in on what's happening in the markets in these days as farmers seed their fields. So let's talk about eggs. They're a traditional part of the British North American diet, but are they a food of the past? Jennifer Blair of Alberta Farmer Express joins us now with some interesting information about eggs and their place in our diets today. Hello, Jennifer, and welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, are eggs a food of the past?
You know, I actually think that eggs might be the food of the future. Obviously, eggs have been kind of relegated to breakfasts over the past 50 years, but we're starting to see a trend toward more all-day breakfast. And so, you know, Canadian consumers are eating eggs all day long now, recognizing that they're healthy, easy, convenient, and nutritious. So I think that we're going to actually start seeing more egg consumption in Alberta.
You know, it's interesting. I remember a couple of years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, when McDonald's jumped on the all-day breakfast thing. And it really seemed to drive a lot of people eating Egg McMuffins. Is that part of this trend?
It's been absolutely huge. Since McDonald's and A&W and Tim Hortons started offering these all-day breakfasts, sales of eggs in Canada have absolutely surged. In the first year of offering all-day breakfast at McDonald's, their sales of breakfast sandwiches were up about 25%, and that equates to about 35 million more eggs. I think over the last year, Canadians have consumed upwards of 700 million breakfast sandwiches, which is an 8% increase from 2016.
Well, you know, before coming in here to record this, I was at Starbucks, and just looking in the food cabinet there, so many of those sandwiches have eggs in them. You know, there's the spinach feta wrap. I often get that. It's got egg whites in it. And then there's all those breakfast sandwiches that I see people ordering all day. So it seems even in chains like Starbucks, eggs are playing a bigger role.
Absolutely. And I think that speaks to a lot of the recent diet trends towards high protein or ketogenic diets. But it also speaks to the fact that eggs have historically gotten a bad rap from nutritionists. You know, I think back in the 80s when I was growing up, we always heard, you know, eggs were high in cholesterol, you don't want to eat the egg yolks, you only want to eat the egg whites. And I think that nutritionists over the past few years have started to kind of change their tune about eggs. So, you know, we're seeing a shift from eggs being kind of an off-limits food that might be enjoyed as part of a big breakfast on the weekends. More in moderation. We're seeing that shift to eggs being kind of welcomed as part of, you know, the everyday diet.
When the new version of Canada's Food Guide came out, there various sectors of ag got very rattled, got very upset. Quite a few farmers were very unhappy with what it said about certain types of food. What's the situation with eggs? Has it hurt eggs? Has it helped eggs? Has it not had a big impact? How's that being seen?
You know, I think it has had a relatively limited impact on eggs. Eggs don't have quite the same forefront that they did in the old Canada Food Guide in the current edition. But, I think that the new Canada Food Guide really does preach more of a holistic, whole food approach to eating, and eggs absolutely fit in that. So I don't think that the new food guide will necessarily harm eggs, but I don't think it will necessarily push them to the forefront the way that they have been in the past.
And, most important of all for me and you and who we write for, and our publications. How is this affecting farmers, the people that actually produce these eggs?
So far, it's been really good news for farmers. You know, obviously, increased sales equates to increased sales for farmers. So in Alberta here, you know, we've seen egg quota increase from about 2 million in 2014 to about 2.5 million hens last year. And a lot of that has to do with this upsurge in all-day breakfast and increased consumption of eggs. So, you know, ultimately, I think it will be good news for farmers. But I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
It's kind of incredible to see a 25% increase in anything, especially a supply managed business.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that the farmers that I've chatted to about this have been really excited about the prospects for Canada's egg industry as more restaurants bring all-day breakfast on tap.
Well, after hearing about this, I got to say I feel a little less weird about cooking omelets for my daughter so often, because on the average daily basis, they're asking me to make them omelets, and I was kind of wondering if I was the only one out there, but I get a sense that eggs might not have slipped off the plate as much as maybe we thought.
No, I pretty regularly eat eggs for lunch because, you know, they are quick and easy and healthy. So, yeah, you're absolutely not alone. I can assure you of that.
Well, thanks very much for joining us today, Jennifer, and telling us all about this.
Thanks again for having me.
Jennifer Blair is a reporter with Alberta Farmer Express. China is darkening the spring for farmers. Its ban on Canadian canola has spoiled that crop's outlook. What are farmers to do? What is Canada to do? How do we deal with China? Alan Dawson of the Manitoba Cooperator is taking a look at these questions, and he joins us now. Hello, Alan, and welcome to Between the Rows.
Hi, and thanks.
So let's cut through all the blather. What's going to make China reopen its market to Canadian canola?
Well, if I knew that, I might be able to help solve the problem. But I don't really know what it'll take. But different people are saying that, you know, we have to try different angles of attack. And those include things like, you know, building allies with other countries, like-minded smaller countries that rely on trade like Canada does, and rules-based trade, more resources towards bulking up our efforts in terms of being able to react quickly when trade disruptions pop up. Also looking at, you know, things, obvious things like the World Trade Organization launching a complaint there. And there's even talk in the industry, as you know, Ed, about perhaps it's time to retaliate against China. And the Canola Council of Canada isn't ruling that out as something they might advocate for, although they, Jim Everson said in a webinar last week that it was, you know, more of a last resort. But as you and others have probably read, one of our former ambassadors had suggested we look at, you know, sending Chinese athletes home that are training here to send a signal to China. On the other hand, though, a lot of people have saying, I think there's some truth to this, that we don't have a lot of leverage with China. China is absolutely huge, dominates us in trade, and you know, there's maybe not a lot that Canada can do. And so far that seems to be the case, because you know, what are we into, like almost 2 months now of this canola thing roiling away, and really nothing's happened in terms of even discussions or more formal discussions between China and Canada.
You did a lot of work on this, Alan, in a recent issue of the Manitoba Cooperator. You had, you know, four or five stories on this. You talked to a lot of the players. It struck me going through, you know, all the work you did on this, that there's no easy answer to how we get that market opened again.
That's right. And it's, you know, farmers are frustrated. I think some of them may not completely see the situation. You know, there's a lot of talk about boots on the ground, that sort of thing, and it's almost like people are missing something in so far as that before you can have boots on the ground, the Chinese actually have to agree to meet, and so far that hasn't happened. There have been, you know, discussions between lower officials with CFIA and some of the customs people in China, but obviously, it's really difficult to deal with this because we can see so little has happened in the 2 months since things began with the boycott of canola from Canada, starting off with Richardson and Viterra.
And there's that argument I've seen out there argued by a lot of old China hands that this is political, going to China and asking them to open the market or demanding they open the market. It really doesn't address the geopolitical issue here. And really, in a way, agriculture may just be powerless in this. Is that a sense you got from speaking to people?
Yeah, you're right, Ed. I think that's what, and you and I were both at the Crops Convention in March, where the Canola Council had its annual meeting along with the Canada Grains Council, and this story just broke then. And right from the outset, a lot of people were suspecting it was political. And the longer it drags on, I think that it bolsters that argument because the Chinese just don't seem to be willing to engage on the complaint that they've raised around contamination. And so people are reading into that and keep repeating that they think it has to do with the Huawei executive that was arrested in Canada and held here, awaiting a possible extradition to the United States. So we're caught up in this thing. And another thing that you and listeners might be interested in too, and you're probably hearing this from the people you talk to as well, that China is apparently watching and reading everything that is coming out of Canada on this issue. And the industry is almost afraid to speak about things because one thing may lead to another. So recently, earlier this week, we saw a Reuters report talking about now sales of peas and pork and soybeans to China from Canada have slowed down. And, there's kind of Chinese officials are dragging their feet on inspections, this sort of thing. And then when you talk to people in the industry about it, they're saying, oh, gee, we wish this kind of thing wasn't being reported on because it just sort of bolsters the Chinese in terms of taking these kind of tactics. Of course, we can't ignore as reporters what's going on and not report on these things. But there's a lot of concern in the industry, second guessing and people being afraid I think we haven't really seen a lot of people come out. The government, for example, has not really come out and said that this is a political issue. And perhaps they're taking the right tact insofar as the customer's saying it's a contamination issue, and they're trying to deal with that. But the Chinese just don't seem to want to engage.
Well, I very much hope, Alan, that next time you and I discuss this on the podcast, that everything's been resolved, millions of tons of canola are flowing to China, and everybody's happy again. What chance do you give that for actually happening?
Well, I don't know. I'm hoping something like that happens sooner than later. But right now, I'm kind of pessimistic. I don't know what it's going to take to break this logjam, and as long as the Huawei executive is, in Canadian in Canada, being under house arrest, I don't know if we're going to see this fixed before that's resolved or not. I hope so. And of course, anything can happen. No, everybody we talk to, I'm sure this you're hearing this too, that the Chinese take a long view of things, but it's really hard to figure out what their, you know, end game is on this.
Well, thanks very much, Alan, for joining us today. I appreciate that.
Thanks so much.
Alan Dawson is a reporter with the Manitoba Cooperator, and you can see his work on this at the Manitoba Cooperator website or in your copy of the paper if you receive it. For those of you still interested in the China issue, if you haven't heard too much about it, Robert Arneson and I, who are both reporters of the Western Producer, are just completing a special report that'll be published in a couple of weeks, looking at longer-term outlook for China and Canadian exports. How much can we really rely on that market? We hear a lot about it at every farm conference we go to. It's the golden gleaming prospect for our future that we can build our booming future on. We're having a look at whether those are safe assumptions for us to have. Now we turn to Glenn Halleck of Markets Farm for an update on the markets. Hello, Glenn.
Hey, how's it going, Ed?
Just great, thanks. So what is going on out there right now?
Canola hit new lows today. The May contract was down to 449.10. The July contract is down to 457.20. It's not good for a canola right now.
What has been behind that kind of specific weakness? Are there any new triggers, or is it just this kind of China overhang?
Yeah, it's mostly all China. When 40% of your canola exports are destined to one customer, China, and you can't sell any more canola to them, like, that's going to take a big bite out of your revenues. It's really hurting. But, you know, when you look at China, like, they buy 60% of the world's oil seeds. So with Canada being the largest producer of canola, you know, it's just a given. You know, that's where you're going to want to sell. But now with this dispute, it's very hard for farmers right now.
Farmers look at prices. Farmers look at the news. Farmers are having to seed a crop right now. How has all this overhang affected what they're putting in the ground?
Right now, Stats Canada is saying there's going to be 21.3 million acres of canola grown this year. That's down about 6.5% from last year. You know, if this keeps up, the next time Stats Canada does report, we might be seeing fewer canola acres in the ground.
It's really quite a reverse, isn't it? Because it seemed for years we were covering every year canola would surprise to the upside, both production and often acres. And it seemed this inexorable rise of canola, and now it's almost like good old reliable king wheat is making his way back, but maybe not for the most optimistic, positive reasons. But wheat is certainly filling in some of the space, isn't it?
Yeah, guys are looking for something else to grow. You know, wheat might be a good idea. You know, across the border, the United States is looking at their fewest wheat acres in about a century. So, you know, maybe there's room for Canada to bounce back. You know, we've seen in the Stats Canada report that there's going to be a little bit more wheat growing this year compared to 2018.
And the U.S. has got its own problems in terms of the soybean products and China. They have a different dispute with China, but it's affecting that too, isn't it? It's backing everything up in North America.
You know, United States-China trade talks started again today. They'll carry on next week. This deal that keeps getting pushed back, you know, month after month. It's been said it's going to be this wonderful thing for soybeans, but in our work, you know, talking to guys that follow the soybeans on the Chicago Board of Trade, some of them are saying, you know, this deal may not come, but if there is a deal, it's not going to be the wonderful windfall that everybody said it was going to be before Christmas.
I'm sure Donald Trump will say it's going to be a big, big deal, and it's going to be a beautiful deal.
Now, would Donald Trump say anything else?
Well, I'm sure it's going to just work out that way. So right now on the Canadian prairies, everybody should have their wheels rolling. There should be a lot of dust in the air. There should be a lot of seed going into the ground. We've had a bit of a slower one, though, haven't we, and a few delays this recent past.
There was snow in Alberta, Saskatchewan, and parts of Manitoba this past weekend. You know, guys are looking to push snow rather than pull around their air seeders. You know, even temperatures aren't going to be that great this year. A lot of it's just going to be in the single digits. So hopefully next week there'll be a lot more dust in the air.
And is this having any sort of an effect on the markets, or are the markets reacting to this slightly delayed spring?
The markets are looking for that planting rally, but you know, a lot of the traders we've spoken to, it's not coming yet. It's just a little bit off in the future. So hopefully soon, you know, we'll see something pick up.
Well, thanks very much, Glenn, for coming on and giving us an update.
Okay, thanks a lot, Ed.
Glenn Halleck is a reporter with Markets Farm. Well, that's all for this week, folks. Join us again next week for another edition of Between the Rows. I'm Ed White, I was your host, and I wish you a successful and fulfilling seeding season.
Between the Rows is a production of Glacier Farm Media, Canada's leading farm publisher. We'd love to hear what you think of the show and invite you to send your comments to etr@farmmedia.com or visit us at membersgetmore.ca and sign up today.